Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 session here at Channel 9. With me today, Rob and Ben. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ben, a developer on the Windows 7 taskbar.
And I'm Rob Jarrett, and I'm also a developer on the Windows 7 taskbar.
And I'm glad to have you back here. I mean, we had two wonderful sessions, which we all encourage you to go in and watch for previous taskbar session on Channel 9 that we have provided a little bit overview of the architect, and then we have went into the API and we covered that. And today, gentlemen, we're going to talk about some of the Windows 7 beta feedback that we have. Windows 7 was released a couple of weeks ago, and we got some feedback from users and consumers, and I want you guys to maybe talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to start off, the beta program has been really, really great. We've gotten a lot of great feedback. And even in just a couple of short weeks, we've had a good opportunity to get a feel for how people felt about our new features and what was working great. And, you know, maybe places where we needed a little bit of refinement just to really nail the end user scenarios and really get what people wanted out of the product. And so...
Yeah, absolutely. It's been astounding to see the amount of feedback that we've had come in. It's great to see everybody, or just many, many people clicking that send feedback button in the top of the Windows, and we read every single piece of feedback that comes through, and it really helps us decide where we want to focus our efforts, what things are important to people, what things aren't so important to people, and it's been a great experience and really helps us refine the product.
Yes, excellent. So that's exactly what we're going to do now, right? We're going to go cover some feedback that we've got and exactly how did it affect.
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of the first pieces of feedback we got was just really a little bit around polish, just saying, hey, you know, when I'm in the taskbar and I'm, you know, bringing up my really cool hover previews and seeing the little thumbnails, I can mouse over those and get the live preview. And that's great for window switching when I want to do it with the mouse, but there's all this keyboard stuff that we've had for years.
All the shortcuts.
And the first one I'd like to sort of just, you know, briefly touch on is Alt-Tab. And one thing that we were, you know, looking at doing before, I'm not really sure it mattered to people, thought it might get in the way or something, and based on the feedback that we got, people said, yeah, this would be really nice, is to bring that arrow peak effect into Alt-Tab. And so if you do Alt-Tab, you can still do your flicks and really quickly, you know, just tab and get to one window. So I can do it just like that. But if you keep on Alt-Tab and you pause on a window for just a sec, you'll see it's about 700 milliseconds is the threshold here, and you get a chance to see that as you now begin to slowly move through your windows, you can see that arrow peak effect right from Alt-Tab.
Cool.
And so that was one of the things that we just polished up based on the feedback that we've gotten.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, it makes sense to allow user to actually view what they're going to see, actually, just like the regular arrow peak with the mouse over the thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Alt-Tab, yeah, is the same thing, right? It represents all the windows.
Yeah, it really goes to our philosophy of making sure it's light and easy to use and see everything. And having that quick preview, I mean, we've got another thumbnail, right? And it's just like the thumbnails down below.
Right.
So making that peak work is awesome.
Cool. So I heard also we talked a little bit before, and you mentioned there, you made some changes to the number of items that shows on the jump list.
Yeah. Another thing that we did was in the jump lists, one of the pieces of feedback that we kept hearing were that there was a lot of items in the jump list, was one of the pieces that we heard, but there was never really a lot of structure around that piece of feedback. But one of the most concrete things that we heard people saying was that it was kind of hard to find their item. And there was never a really specific reason why, but the more that we talked to people internally that have played with the features, that have worked on the features, we got the sense that those two pieces of feedback were coming together, and they were kind of talking about the same thing, that we didn't really have any sort of cap on the number of items that could appear in, like, the recent section. Certainly, the pinned section is controlled by the user, but the recent section could get smaller or larger depending on how the user used the machine, and it was only capped based on the amount of space that was available on the screen. So we had sort of a space cap, but it wasn't based on on usage or anything like that. So what we did was we decided to, first off, by default, we now limit the recent or frequent category to 10 items. And that really, we've done a bunch of studies on list presentation to users, and we've done those in the past, and we're able to leverage that information here, as well as the CIP, the CEIP, Customer Experience Improvement Program. And that is where we get data back on actual usage when people opt in to providing that data, the anonymous feedback. And we're able to see that the vast majority of invocations from a jump list occurred in the top 10 slots. And there's also data that shows the top 12 slots of a list are about as far as you can go before you need to alphabetically order a list so that people can find items. We didn't want to force alphabetism here because we wanted to show recent and kind of provide that idea of the top item is the most recent and the bottom is the least. So we've maintained that, but it's a cap of 10, but it is a user setting now. And so we said, well, maybe people want to customize that. So if you go into the properties of the start menu and you just hit the customize button here, down at the bottom, you used to have just number of recent programs to display. And now we have number of recent items to display in a jump list. And if, say, I only really want to see the top 5, I can move that down to 5. Hit OK, and the next time I open up the jump list, you'll see there's only 5 items there.
Cool. Is this something that can be done programmatically?
That number can't directly be changed programmatically. It's, it's just a user setting, and so that's not something that we want applications modifying.
Okay, makes sense. It's the whole user in control.
User in control, exactly.
Okay.
Another thing that relates to jump lists is that one of the pieces of feedback we heard was that especially when it comes to developers, that they like to use, for example, Notepad to be able to edit their .cpp files or their .cs files or just all these file types that Notepad hasn't been registered for by default. Now, some users may have figured out that you could go ahead and you could right-click on that file, select Open With, and then open the Open With ... button, and then choose your program and go through, and then suddenly you'd be able to get that item into Notepad's jump list. But wouldn't it be nice if you could just drag the item onto Notepad and let it pin there? And so in the past, and when we talked about when we did the little jump into jump lists video, we talked about how the application has to be registered for to handle the file type. Now we'll create that registration for the user just like we would in the Open With dialog if you drag and drop a file type onto an application. There are a few limitations where applications can go into the registry and limit their file types by listing the only types that they support. There are a couple other things that we know technically we just can't create that handler, but for the vast majority of apps should just work. So I can show you that right here. Notepad right now is not registered to handle a .cpp file, but I happen to have one here in my documents library. And I'm just going to go ahead and drag that over on top of Notepad. And you're now going to see that it'll say pin to Notepad. Now, it doesn't pin to Media Player because Media Player has said, I only support media files, and it's told us about that. So you'll get the little red Ghostbuster sign. But on Notepad, I can drag and drop it to pin right there. You'll see it's pinned, and I can click it, and it's going to open up right in Notepad there. And you're instantaneously going to have that ability to have that registered for that app. So that's pretty cool.
Now, Ben, if an application wants to add its a document into its either recent or frequent list, or a custom category for that matter, it's got to be explicitly registered for that file type. This does not now mean that applications can just call any file type, call sh add to recent docs with any file type and it'll automatically get registered for them, correct?
No, that's correct. Yeah, it really has to be an explicit user action here. Sh add to recent docs actually in the past has had some capability to create registrations for applications, and that's primarily sort of if you've opened a document that you haven't supported in the past. We create what we call like a soft registration, and it's not exactly the same as the app going in and describing it and providing the icon and stuff like that. So if you call add to recent docs, there it does the registration, but if you're building a custom jump list, it won't create a registration for you. and apps really shouldn't rely on that behavior. In Shad to Recent Docs, it does it for legacy reasons, and we're not able to remove that at this point. But we really do think that an application should be reporting the file types that it understands, and have that registered in the registry and just register for the file types. That makes things a lot simpler. And those types of registrations allow you to actually control how you're launched with that document. The ones that we create, it's a very simple registration. It's just to sort of get by, but there's no customization there, and the app can't request that they use one type of handler versus the other. So.
Cool.
So basically, there is no API that the program can use to have that effect.
They can't pin anything, but applications absolutely can create handlers for themselves.
Yeah, just their own handler. They cannot use that mechanism that you just presented.
Oh, no, not the same one that we used in the drag and drop, because that's explicitly something that we'll do for the user, but applications shouldn't even need to rely on that.
No, sure. So, they can have their own.
Right, exactly. One thing I did want to also touch on, though, were a couple of the other shortcut hotkeys with the keyboard that we think are pretty cool. Now that we've got some of that feedback, people are a little bit confused about how to relaunch an application that's already running. So you notice that if you look down here, I've got two Notepad windows, and I've got a couple of Explorer windows. And you know, I've got libraries here. Maybe I'll go to Pictures, something like that. But people have been wondering, well, how do I get a new instance? How do I get another window? And so in the past, what we've always said was, if you looked at Click Launch, you could do Windows key plus a number, and it would launch the number in order from left to right, or in a right-to-left language, it would go right to left.
So just to make sure that everybody understands, so Windows 1 here would launch Explorer.
Internet Explorer.
Yes.
So if I hit window key 1, that launches Internet Explorer right here. And I don't have network connectivity, so we don't see anything.
And Windows 2.
Windows 2, now this is where we made a little bit of a change.
Because so
it used to launch, but where we got some confusion from people was they didn't understand, like, well, while apps are running, I can't tell what's running and what isn't, etc. So what Windows 2 now does is actually bring up that list of thumbnails, and as I'm just holding down the Windows key and tapping 2, so it's like an Alt tab for that app.
Just for that app.
Just for that application. And really what our goal here is to say, we're always going to bring you a window within that application. And so it's not really about launching or switching specifically anytime you hit that button. It's getting you to a window, and as you tap it, you're able to cycle through. So if the app isn't running, it'll launch it and bring that window up. And if it is running, then we can tap it, and you can cycle through windows if necessary.
Cool.
If you want to launch, you can use window key shift, and then the number, and then you'll see that you get another window that pops up.
So that's like Alt tab only for my application.
Exactly. And there's actually a number of other benefits to this as well. I think number one is we're really opening up the taskbar to keyboard shortcuts, which it had in the past, but certainly not to this level of access to the different capabilities of the taskbar. So for, I guess power users, you could say, now people don't need to go over to the mouse nearly as much as they needed to in order to get to a lot of the functionality of the taskbar. And in fact, we opened up jump lists as well to be keyboard accessible. So if you press the Windows key, then the Alt key, and then the number, you'll get the jump list for that specific group.
Sweet.
So you could, you know, get the open up to your recent docs or close the app or whatever you want to do, all through just the keyboard. As well, we're hoping it's going to become a very habit-forming kind of a thing where if people maybe put their email application over on the far left, if they press Windows key 1, they are always going to get their email app, whether it's running. If there's only one window open, it's going to switch to it. If there are multiple windows, then they'll be able to choose just, drill into exactly what window in their email program that they want to get to. So it's hopefully a very, you know, kind of powerful feature to be able to give to end users.
I like the Alt window, and then it's cool. I guess all the geeks there are now very happy. They don't have to use the mouse to actually go to the jump.
There's, and we'll be putting online in the blog some more information about this stuff. There's some extra modifier keys as well that will do different things, launching elevated, switching to the last active window of the program, and so
yeah, there's a whole slew of them and lots of combinations.
Exactly. Yeah.
Figured we just highlight a few today, and then let everybody else take a look and read online about all the rest. But
I think ThemeSnit has a blog post about the 30 shortcuts sticker bumper.
Yes.
7. So you have like a whole list of whatever you can do with only shortcuts, no mouse. No, very cool blog.
We're gonna need a few more now that we've got all these added. So produce a new sticker. Come on.
I will work on it.
Okay. Good.
Cool.
So those are the top couple of things that we've come back with based on the beta feedback and really.
Yeah, and there's also a number of other things more. I mean, this is more of a small snapshot, and we're covering sort of taskbar stuff. But we've done a lot of different tweaks. From some of the visuals, we're tweaking a little bit to try and call out what's active, what's running, what isn't, as well as some of the flashing window. If you have an instant messenger program and you get a new message from somebody, or somebody's written a new text to you, then you the flashing effect that we had is more noticeable now, and just a lot of different I could go on and on about a lot of the things that we've been tweaking and working on and refining.
So we're absorbing all the feedback from the different channels that we have.
Yes,
actually, we're really listening to them and we're taking them very seriously and incorporating them
for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I've heard, traveling to the PDC and to other events where I get a chance to interact with customers, is that people are like, "Oh, well, you've got your beta, but I never see anything out of that." And I think this is absolute proof that we really are listening to users, and we really are saying, yeah, you've got some good points, and we can't obviously go in and invent new features and change the world, but we can always make some tweaks and really help out. Really getting it polished and the way people expect. So
sure, I think that's the general expectation out there.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So with that, folks, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Please watch for future Windows 7 and Taskbar session on Channel 9. Thank you.